For decades, the ghost train and the helter skelter on Brighton's Palace Pier have been among the main attractions for millions of visitors to this South Coast city. But now, Brighton and Hove City Council have got a new plan for drawing people here. They want to become the world's first urban biosphere city, which would be designated by UNESCO and would rank alongside places such as the Central Amazon Rainforest and Mount Olympus as a place where the ecology and the biodiversity are the main attractions. So I've come to find out what makes Brighton so green, or if in fact the pursuit of biosphere city status is little more than a stunt.
Mmm, that's very delicious. It's sweet, actually, that one.
Is it? I'm Bryn Thomas from Brighton Permaculture Trust. We're at Stanmer Park on the outskirts of Brighton. It's in the countryside, but it's, I suppose you'd call it a peri-urban site called a park, but it's actually a big old estate, that type of park rather than a city park. It stretches from, as I say, the outskirts of Brighton nearly to the top of the Downs. This is probably the largest orchard in Brighton and Hove. It certainly is as far as we're aware. And it's one of two orchards up here we lease from the council. The focus of these orchards is definitely very multifunctional, which fits in with the idea of permaculture. Oh, here's Peter May at the apple nursery. Let's go and talk to him about grafting traditional Sussex apple varieties.
What do you do, Peter?
Well, I'm working on a project on Sussex varieties of apples, which have almost disappeared from cultivation, and only three are available commercially. So we're propagating the 25 different varieties of Sussex varieties from on rootstocks here, and making them available for commercial orchards and for people who want to have a Sussex variety. And there's some great varieties like Saltgoat Pippin, Tinsley Quince, which will make wonderful apple trees and great fruit.
Old English apple varieties?
Yes, I mean, most of them really probably date from the 1800s, 1900s really, 1826, some of them 1950. That sort of date, really.
And this is all about sort of increasing the biodiversity, is that the idea?
It is. It's to do with biodiversity, but also rescuing varieties which are in danger of disappearing completely as named varieties, which is important because they have their own genetic identity and their own strengths in terms of disease resistance and amount of fruit you can get, really. So these are all characteristics that you don't want to allow to disappear, really.
So we've come across the Brighton Earthship, which is a building that looks really like it should be in the Mojave Desert. And what's it all about?
It's off-grid in terms of energy and water, but it's probably its most interesting thing is the fact it's, or what most people are interested in, is that it's built largely out of recycled materials. The back wall all the way around the building is built with car tyres rammed with chalk, about 800 of them. And it's well insulated and it's got south-facing glazing, so we'll go in a moment and you'll see just how warm it is in there and how little heating it needs.
Sure. Let's go and have a look. Yeah. This is the Earthship. Woo! That is hot.
We've got south-facing glazing to collect the heat of the sun, combined with good insulation, but also, critically, the heavy material in the floors and walls that actually store the heat and prevent it overheating with appropriate levels of ventilation as well, so it stays a comfortable temperature when it's ventilated. Lots of recycled materials used in the construction of the building, from the worktops and carcasses of the kitchen to bottles in the walls, which act as glass bricks, tyres as the back walls, as I said. The water, the rainwater is collected off the roof, treated here, goes to the sinks and hand basins and shower. And then the water from that, the grey water, is treated in these planters along the windows here, which also grow interesting and useful. Some of them plants. We've got tomatoes growing out there. And then the water as it comes through there is then used to flush the toilets.
Keith Taylor, I'm the convener of the City Councillors Green Party group. You know, the aspiration to become the UK's first urban biosphere city from UNESCO is you know, it's fantastic. It's great news that people want to use that as a target to work towards. But in fact, you know, we have a background in the city of of chasing titles. And for instance, you know, Brighton and Hove was perfectly happy coexisting as two towns until somebody decided in the council that it would be a great spin for us to become a city. So we spent a huge amount of money and an effort getting there. And in the same way, I do wonder whether or not we actually need to be called an urban biosphere city, when actually what's really wanted is action. And we don't need to have a title to take action. And this comes to our primary concern in the Greens in Brighton, which, you know, is, don't let's forget, the greenest voting city in the country. You know, people don't just think green, they vote green.
Why are people green in Brighton? Why does the place attract a kind of people who like a green lifestyle?
It's a very special place. It attracts people who think slightly differently, perhaps who are interested in all the benefits of living in a busy cosmopolitan area, which is sandwiched between the sea and the beautiful South Downs.
I'm Brigitta Richards and I'm the chair of Friends of Bevan Dean Down. And we're on the edge of our nature reserve by the Dew Pond, which was restored by the group about 15 years ago now. And it's a haven for lots of wildlife. And we can carry on walking along. This is the area where we graze the sheep that Sussex Wildlife Trust provide. Usually about 50 sheep come in the autumn, so they're due about now. And there they come in. They're the most efficient and environmentally friendly way of keeping all the scrub and bramble and bits like that down.
And this is just what one of quite a few little nature reserves in Brighton,
yeah.
Is it?
All around what they call the urban fringe, which is what this is, because it backs right onto the houses just down there. Got lots of little friends of groups that help to the Brighton and Hove City Council countryside rangers. They help them to preserve it. Most of us live in the area and don't want to see it built on or just become covered in scrub, which is rather unattractive.
Yeah.
And keeping it as the original chalk downland means that you attract all sorts of flora and therefore fauna that are nationally quite rare.
Back on the Palace Pier next to the House of Horrors amusement ride, not everyone is as convinced that the city's ambition of achieving UNESCO status is actually possible. I bumped into John and his friend Myra having a stroll.
I think it's rubbish.
why do you think it's rubbish?
I just don't think they can, compared to those places. Having been to the Winelands and various other places, and Myra's been up the Amazon, and I just don't see how you can compare this old concrete jungle in the past with that, to be honest. And even with the sea and the marine life and what's going in here, and the sewage just discharging down the road, because I've been down there as well. No chance.
What do you think? You say you've been to the Amazon?
I have, yes. Many, many years ago when I was a young thing. Yes, and it was beautiful. This compares in a different way, a completely different way. So I don't think you could put it in the same category at all. So I agree with John. Now, I mean, I think this is lovely and I think it should be preserved, but not put on any register or anything.